A weekly pulse on all things green and gold, except we're not previewing a game this week. It's Weekly Wildy. I'm Alex Strofe in Milwaukee, joined by three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wildy, who is at his home studio in the wonderful city, my hometown of Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is weird. Every episode of this we've done, we've been previewing a game. We are now kind of recapping the season and the end of season press conferences, Jason. I guess this is, in some ways, is your end of season press conference, even though we'll do a couple more episodes of this through the Super Bowl.
I'm happy to, you know what? I don't need a season ending press conference. I'm ready to do this all year round.
Wow. He's committed to a full year.
I didn't say I committed to it. I said I'm ready to,
okay.
But that doesn't mean that I'm going to.
Okay, so. Got it. You going to take any vacation soon?
Yeah, I'll take it tomorrow.
Okay, great. Now, this is the first weekly Wildy at night we've done, so it might get a little weird. We typically record this...
Weekly Wildy after hours.
Yeah, right. We typically record this 8 a.m. on Thursdays, but with Brian Gutekunst, end of your press conference, Thursday at noon, you had to get to Lambeau a little bit earlier than normal. So we're recording this about 5:40 on Thursday night. But let's start right there with what you had today. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, had his end of season press conference, and we can talk about a couple of things from that, but I actually really want to start with how it ended, which was you essentially saying, and I'll let you sum it up in your own words, but something I said on Mr. Irrelevant on Wednesday was, hey, this is an 11-win team. They didn't get as far as they wanted to in the playoffs. This is a huge offseason where they need to realize this championship window is probably open. I will let you take it from there on your exchange with the general manager.
Well, first of all, Goody would tell you, Alex Strofe, he doesn't believe in windows.
Well, he's wrong, but that's fine.
I mean, if he's clearly never met Gina Della then, because he should be a big believer in Pella windows and doors of
good
Wisconsin. I agree with you, regardless of what Goody may think. Like, I feel like the window is just opening, right? Like, it opened a crack last year. And that doesn't mean that you can't grab a hold of the window and throw it wide open, right? And they had that chance after three quarters in San Francisco of getting to an NFC championship game. This year, I feel, you know, and you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, but I feel like they opened the window farther. But then, like, you know, the oven timer went off or the fire alarm went off and they didn't go any further through the window because they had to deal with something else, which was defeat.
Sure.
So I think next year they have a chance to really open the window wide because not only were there a lot of really good things that happened this season, but they're going to have an opportunity to add guys, obviously in the draft, obviously free agency. You know, if they release Jaire Alexander and before you count in the cost of signing your draft class, according to Over the Cap, they're going to have $57 million in salary cap space. Now, as Goody pointed out, they've got some good young players that are on rookie contracts. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have some, you know, especially with that 2022 draft class, you know, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, both of their starting tackles,
yep.
Zach Tom and Rashid Walker. So, you know, those guys are all in contract years. You know, we'll get into this later, but I think Goody's response about Walker and Wyatt left very little room for interpretation. They're getting the fifth-year options. I would be stunned now if they don't, based on what he said. So there's a lot of really good things to be excited about. But that said, to go to how we kind of finished the presser, you know, I always try. There are tough questions that need to be asked. Right. And I know I ask questions that are very long, but I try to ask them in a way that's respectful. And for those that are for the uninitiated, the questions are longer because I think short questions, while they may be good on like a radio thing or whatever else, I think in press conferences, if I'm trying to get a specific understanding of something, I want the person who's answering to understand what I'm asking. And instead of just saying, this year wasn't good enough, wouldn't you agree? You know, my point was, and the way I basically couched it was, look, we spent the last half hour, you know, talking about a lot of the good things that happened this season. And you've got a lot of really good players in your locker room. I said, but the bottom line is you finished 11-6. You lost in the first round of the playoffs, and, you know, you work in Titletown, right? You know what the expectations are. So, you know, how do you view this season? And I mean, this is, it's about the answer, not about the question. So I don't give a hoot who asked the question. But when the general manager says, and I quote, "These opportunities don't come often. The life of a player in the National Football League is not very long. We've got a bunch of good guys in that locker room. We've got a bunch of talented guys in that locker room. And I think it's time we started competing for championships. I think they're ready." I would say that's a pretty big statement. And, you know, again, I'm not dismissing all the reasons for positivity and feel good about certain aspects of the season. But what I got from that, and the prelude to that answer earlier in his response, he talked about the need to ramp up our sense of urgency. And my interpretation of that was, we got a bunch of young guys on our team. They care about it. They do. Mm-hmm. But I get the sense that they're thinking, I got a long NFL career ahead. So if it doesn't work out this year, I mean, it sucks, but we got next year, right? Sure. There's always next year. And so I think that the messaging there was, hey, a lot of stuff can go wrong when you think you're going to be a contender and suddenly you're sitting at 8-9 and you miss the playoffs, even though you thought you had all the pieces, which is, let's be honest, it's what they thought in 2022 with a guy coming off back-to-back MVPs. And yes, they traded away the best wide receiver in football, but there's no way they were expecting that to go that way. And so nothing is guaranteed in this league. So I think he felt like last year and certainly this year, you know, the way they stumbled down the stretch, that they squandered opportunities that aren't guaranteed to them in 2025, 2026, and so on.
Yeah, and they clearly did, right? Losing three in a row to end the season, obviously the two in the regular season and then last week's game against Philadelphia, is kind of the inverse of what we saw a year ago, right? That was a team that entered the postseason hot, got a really big win against old friend Mike McCarthy against the Dallas Cowboys. And as you referenced at the top, right, through three quarters, it looked like they were headed to Detroit for the NFC Championship game. So it's very different how those seasons ended, but this is still an improvement. You go from 9 wins to 11 wins in the regular season. You certainly looked a little bit more consistent, obviously, than you did a year ago. But I still think there's work to be done, whether that be through free agency, whether that be making some bolder moves than he has in the past in the NFL draft when it's in his backyard. This is a really big offseason, in my opinion, Jason, for Brian Gutekunst. I think this is the opportunity for him to, whether or not he believes in windows, I guess I don't really care, but clearly he understands that this team is much closer to a championship than they were the day they traded away Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, or should be much closer, right? And they have the wherewithal to improve their chances through free agency, through the draft, et cetera. Now, you know, I think there's a couple of other things at work here. Because 2023 was a season unlike any other in Green Bay. And the reason, what I'm saying is that it literally is the first year. Like, not even in 08 was it like this. The first year that I can recall, maybe since 2000, or maybe since 2006, but even then, you still had Brett freaking Favre as your quarterback. Mm-hmm. But 2023 was the first time that I really think there were no expectations.
I totally agree.
Right? Rebuild, first-year starting quarterback, not a Hall of Fame quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, who the heck knows? They could go 6-11, like some of us predicted, or they could go 9-8 and then beat the Cowboys in the playoffs and be within striking distance of an NFC Championship game berth. Well, I got news for you. It's probably going to be another decade and change before they even have a chance to have a season like that. And you don't want seasons like that. Mm-mm. To have no expectations. And it was great for them. And let's be honest, they can say all they want that they don't listen to the outside noise and they don't think about expectations. But they didn't meet the expectations of their own team.
No.
Forget about my expectations or yours. Like, they actually hit my expectations.
They did. Yeah, you nailed it all year. Yeah, you nailed it.
They were better than they were a year ago. Didn't go as far in the playoffs. Won more games. Still can't believe they lost to the Bears, but that's neither here nor there.
That's a different
story. Bottom line is that the days of no expectations were gone this year, and now they're really gone for next year. I mean, year three is the starter for Jordan Love. You know what happened in the third year as the starter for Aaron Rodgers?
I do.
They went and won the Super Bowl. So that's the expectation, right? And if you got as many good players as they've got, which I know they feel like they do, they got to figure it out. And I'm really eager. You know, he was kind of, I know one question asked by someone other than me felt like one of those, as a big fan of Law and Order, the opposing counsel would have objected and said, objection, leading. like somebody was trying to get him to say that he'd be interested in a guy like Devontae Adams without using Devontae Adams' name. So there were questions about number one receivers, sure. Questions about guys that are on the back end of their prime. I mean, look, we spent a lot of time with LaFleur and spent a lot of time with Goody about the concept of a number one wide receiver. And my point to him is, you know, his first year with the Packers, I think, was 99 in an official capacity. And that was my first year as the lead beat writer for the State Journal. And, like, I don't know about you, but in all my time, there was always somebody elevating, right? Sterling Sharp was before me, but Sharp suffered his career-ending neck injury, and Robert Brooks rose up in 95. Then it was Freeman. Then it was Driver. Then it was Jennings. Then it was Nelson. Then it was Adams. And now nobody else has come along. I mean, maybe Alan Lazard.
I feel like you missed Lazard and Javon Walker. Those are the two names you were missing there.
But if you think about where this team is, you know, that is one of the questions, because for all their talent, their wide receiver group didn't deliver. You know, Jaden Reed didn't deliver. Christian Watson got limited opportunities before he got hurt. Romeo Doubs decided to no-show for work. And frankly, you know, my guy ended up being the most consistent guy at season's end. And he was a guy dropping passes left and right, Dontavion Wicks. So there, something's got to happen there for them to get better.
Yeah. I think when you look at the position they line up against, there's certainly questions there with their lead guy and Jair Alexander. Did Goody give you any insight on what that offseason would look like? Because obviously a lot of us speculating the Packers likely will move on from Jair Alexander. They save $6 million by doing it. And obviously he's just been too inconsistent. And as you know, right, the best ability is availability, and he hasn't been available.
Sure, we can pay him. Was his answer when somebody asked, can you afford to keep him on the roster?
So he went a monetary route with his answer.
I think that's the phrasing of the question. But he expounded. He said, I know it's been really, really frustrating, not only for him as a player, but for us as a club. When you have a player who's done what he's done for us in the past and then not being able to get him out on the field consistently, that's tough. It's tough on the player, tough on the organization. We're at the beginning stages of just kind of gathering information as a whole before we start looking at next year and how we're going to lay this thing out. But we could pay him. Obviously, when he's healthy and he's ready to play, which I thought was a very interesting phrase, he's a pretty good player. He is, no doubt about
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not going to offer to run around the state capitol in my underwear or wager a large amount of money. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's done. And his behavior on Monday, I thought, was consistent with someone who knows his time here is over.
Yeah, and for those of you that missed it, essentially the long and short of it is, I know you were having a conversation with him a little bit. Some cameras came over, and he declined to talk to the media at that point and said he doesn't even know if he's going to be here next year. So he kind of answered the questions he would have been asked anyway by declining to comment. But, it doesn't sound like a guy who thinks he's going to be back. I know you talked to LaFleur earlier in the week, and obviously I imagine he's still frustrated with how the season ended in Philadelphia on Sunday. But look, here's my criticism. He had his shortcomings, certainly, down the stretch in that three-game losing streak. Matt LaFleur did, both as a play caller, as a time manager. You know, challenges were a bugaboo for him all season. But he's still a very good head coach in this league. And he's still young, right? That's what people forget about Matt LaFleur. He is still a young head coach in this league. What were your takeaways from the press conference with him earlier in the week?
So I think there were a couple of things that stood out. I mean, first of all, like he was in, I don't want to, spin mode is not fair to him. Because I didn't, like when I think of people spinning things, I think of it as being dishonest,
yes,
or inauthentic. And I don't think it was that. Now, obviously, and you know this from the conversations that followed on across ESPN Wisconsin, that him saying that Jordan Love, the biggest step Jordan Love needs to take is to be more vocal as a leader and evolve as a leader, which, again, I don't disagree with him. I know Homer thinks you can't ask somebody to be someone they're not. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what he's asking, but you can ask people to do a little bit more and to the point that they're comfortable doing it. And, you know, I don't think Jordan insists that he's comfortable with that stuff. So I think it's reasonable for Matt LaFleur to ask for that. So that was the biggest thing that jumped out at me. I mean, because again, let's remember, whether you want to or not, you got a $220 million contract. Again, expectations, responsibilities, scrutiny for how you played, that all comes with it. And, you know, if you don't want that, then, you know, take a discounted rate contract and get paid well under what the market value is. And by the way, you're still going to be judged because mm-hmm. that's what happens to quarterbacks. So that was one of the things that jumped out at me. You know, you and I talked about, or maybe I talked about it with, I think I talked about it with KBN, like on Monday at locker room clean out, the things that Tucker Kraft said about the team needing to wake up. Again, this is just my gut and not, I don't know what was in his mind, but it felt like a guy who was trying to act like a leader in his opinion. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe that ties into what Goody said about urgency. So maybe he had a point. I'm open to that, but it just felt a little forced to me. That was just my reaction because I'm not super surprised by what their shortcomings turned out to be this season. And we talked about it. I always bring up the trailer at Summerfest. But we talked about it then, like 19 games of film on the quarterback, defenses are going to have a better idea how to defend them. So there's a lot going on with this offseason. It's a big one for Goody. It's a big one for LaFleur. He's got, you know, we spent most of our time talking about the importance of the play action game and him going through the definition of it and what is and what isn't play action in his mind. Well, the bottom line is, you didn't do it enough. Like, legit, real, trick the linebacker into thinking it might be a run and then throwing it play action. And that was the bread and butter of what you did for so long. And it worked really well. So those were kind of the takeaways from him. I know there's a group of folks now that are really down on him and think he's overrated. And I get that. I don't agree. I think they're right about where I thought they'd be after 2 years of transitioning from one of the best to ever do it to a guy that's got some talent but is inconsistent. And that's kind of where I'm at with them.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, that's not either of us saying he can't elevate and become a great quarterback in this league, right? That's not at all what we're saying. But year two was certainly a struggle. And injuries, did they play a role? Yes, they did, right? Without a doubt, was Jordan Love hampered with some injuries throughout this season? Yes. But some of the decision-making, especially the early part of the season and the playoff game where he threw three interceptions, was questionable. And you know, you hope, A, when a guy is making that kind of money, he's playing like a quarterback that's making that kind of money. And you didn't see that in year one of this new contract, but that's not me at all saying I've lost faith in Jordan Love as the franchise quarterback of this team. It's just, it's going to take some time, right? Playing quarterback is a really, really hard thing to do in the National Football League and doing it well. Couple of coaching cleanup I want to do. Let's start with the quarterback coach, speaking of the position. Tom Clements calling it a day, 71 years old, says he's had enough in terms of coaching. The only guy, as far as I'm aware, that has worked with Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love in that building. How are they going to replace him in your mind? I mean, obviously they have a bunch of internal candidates. Sean Mannion, I know, was in the building. I know towards the end of the season, Luke Getsy was in the building. The former offensive coordinator went to Chicago. Now he's back. How do you see them filling that role?
Well, I presume it'll be with Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, no sarcasm detected.
So, I kind of dug into that a little further just because, you know, Tausch is kind of taken with that angle. I don't know if it's because I still hold a grudge against Dan, because when he was a nobody trying to break into the business, we were having him on the show when he was just breaking down YouTube video. And then when he became, I mean, he's come on the show subsequently after I got really mad.
You just weren't there, right?
Yeah. So they have him on when I'm not there. Anyway, some random fan, Troy Podasek, said, "Hey, Dan Orlovsky, 7, the Packers are looking for a quarterbacks coach." And Dan responded, "Would be an honor."
I agree with that.
I don't know if Troy has any sort of hiring influence with Matt LaFleur or Goody or anybody in the building. And I am never going to say never to anything, because that's when you look like an idiot.
Yep.
Oh, this will never happen. I don't see any way the Packers lose this game on the way to Super Bowl 32. But they have 3 in-house candidates, including one who held the job previously. They all have great relationships with LaFleur. The fact that Matt LaFleur would bring back, after his stints with the Bears as an offensive coordinator and the Raiders as an offensive coordinator, that he would bring back Luke Getsy to do the Robert Saleh version, but for the other side of the ball, an offensive mind helping out the defensive staff by looking at other offenses. The fact that he would bring him in as a consultant after the Raiders fired him tells you what Matt LaFleur thinks of Luke Getsy. Also, he hired Sean Mannion last year, who he had coached at one point, and he thinks that Sean Mannion is going to be an outstanding coach. John Schneider, the GM of the Seahawks, told him he's going to be a head coach someday in this league. So now that's 2 candidates. And then there's Connor Lewis, who you hear Matt LaFleur reference all the time. Now, a lot of times it's about replay challenges and whatever else, but Connor Lewis, who was hired by Mike McCarthy as like a numbers guy, was the assistant quarterbacks coach this year. He's obviously got a pre-existing relationship with Jordan Love. All 3 of them do now.
Yep.
So my point to Tausch, which, obviously the tenor of our show changed after learning of the passing of Bob Uecker, but, like, I don't care if it's Dan Orlovsky or Mina Kimes, who I consider a good friend and I love her. I don't care who it is on ESPN, but if you're at an important inflection point in your quarterback's development in year 3, after he was great during the second half of year 1 and was for a good chunk of year 2, are you hiring a guy that's delivering hot takes on NFL Live? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So again, my bias notwithstanding, that's not to impugn Dan Orlovsky. Played in the NFL for a long time. He was a backup for a long time. Backup quarterbacks, including Sean Mannion, are oftentimes really good coaches.
Doug Peterson.
So I am not saying that Dan Orlovsky can't be an NFL quarterbacks coach. Don't misunderstand me, especially you, Dan, in case you're tuning in. What I'm saying is at this point in Jordan Love's development, I think this hire is really important. So I don't think you want to screw it up.
Correct.
And I'm not saying that Dan would be screwing it up. I'm saying you'd be taking a chance with a guy, as opposed to 3 guys that have all been in the room with Jordan Love at different points in his career. So I personally would anticipate one of those 3 guys being the guy But again, I actually had crafted a text message to LaFleur during the show, because while Tausch was talking about Dan Orlovsky, you can listen to this. This is the first portion, and I didn't send it.
Oh,
because I figured he's too busy to get a text from Wilde saying, "Would you ever hire Dan Orlovsky? Can I set Tausch straight that this is a critical year for Jordan, and you've got plenty of in-house options?"
Yeah, it seems.
And I never sent.
It seems crazy to go outside when you just run through the logical options that are inside. It seems. And look, I will not say never, because I'm with you, right? Because it'll make me look like a fool if they do go an outside route. But it just does not make a lot of sense given where Jordan Love is right now. And the relationships that exist, right, with the three candidates he ran through. This is broken since we've been recording. Derek Ansley, or is it Ainsley, the defensive passing game coordinator.
We call him D.A., right. So that way we avoid that.
All right, D.A., the former Chargers defensive coordinator, this year the defensive passing game coordinator for the Packers, has interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons for their opening defensive coordinator job. This just coming out, this per the Atlanta Falcons themselves reporting.
Indeed.
This one. Hey, got to cite your sources.
Pretty good source.
Yeah, I think so. Who's your source on this? I should tweet back at them. What do you make of that one?
I think Derek's a good coach. He's obviously got a history of coordinating defenses. I think he had another coordinator job before the Chargers as well. Tennessee, maybe, if I remember correctly. Look, their secondary is pretty damn good when it's healthy. He certainly helped the further development of Carrington Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what Keyshawn Nixon did, and now he's proclaiming himself a number one corner.
Yeah.
So he's a really good football coach. They also have, what's interesting is that they've got a pretty deep bench. They've done a really good job of cultivating people. So like if he were to get that job, which I'm, like, Wink Martindale wants to get back into the NFL. He's got a really good track record. He was at Michigan for a year, right?
Yep.
I kind of feel like he's a logical guy that'll, if they're choosing between the two, they might pick him, right? Because he's got a track record that's probably better than Derek's is. But he's a really good coach. If he gets a job, though, like, Ryan Downard can step into passing game coordinator on defense very easily. Still coach safeties and corners. So I think that they'll be fine if he were to get that job, but I think they would love to, they want to keep that staff together. Like, they feel really, really good about what they were able to accomplish this year without a pass rush group, like a pretty mediocre pedestrian pass rush. They want to be able to line up four guys and drop seven in coverage. They couldn't do that this year. So if they add some pieces, Max Crosby. I hear they're getting Max Crosby and Myles Garrett, which really, wow. It would be amazing.
Now, it's funny you say that, because I heard they're also getting Devontae Adams and T. Higgins.
It's going to be it's a dream team. So again, I really like my interactions with Derek. I think he's a really smart guy. He recruited like just about everybody under the sun because he was in college football for a long time.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So he's got really good relationships with players. He'd be a good hire for them. I'm not saying he wouldn't be. Yeah. I just don't know if that's like, I don't know what his chances are down there.
All right. So this is big news. It came out earlier in the week, and I have not heard you've likely talked about it on Wilde and Tausch. Sorry, I didn't listen. I'm really curious on your thoughts on this one, because this is something you and I have talked about, I think, a lot off the air. Is best case scenario for hiring a guy like Jeff Hafley is in 2 years he's a head coach somewhere else, right? And that means your defenses were really good, right? That's what that means if he's getting an opportunity elsewhere. The New York Jets have interviewed Jeff Hafley for their head coaching position. I don't expect him to get it, given how many candidates they are looking at and how many stacked resumes there are, right? Look at the Detroit Lions and how many guys are getting interviews from there. But he's got head coaching experience at the collegiate level. He's now proven he can turn around a defense really well in the NFL, right? Making this Packers group a top five group this year. He seems like a great candidate, and I'm nervous that they could lose him this offseason, but I imagine you're probably going to calm me down as he just had the one interview.
I am going to calm you down. I don't think he, again, windows, whether you believe in them or not, They close and open quickly. Not everyone can do what Ben Johnson did, which was basically say, all the jobs that are currently open suck. I'm not interested in any of them. I'm going to go back to the Lions for another year and now have his pick of the litter. So I don't know, you know, what Jeff Hafley's prospects will be a year from now. The first thing I would say is, if you want to take the Jets job, he's from New Jersey. His family is out there still, his parents and everybody else, his brother. Go right ahead. But I wouldn't recommend it. Like, if Jeff calls me right when we get done, and he's not going to, I want to be clear on that, when we get done recording, I'd be like, dude, you're a really good football coach. You're really smart. You're charismatic. I understand that that's home for you. But that is one effed up organization. And no matter how good of a coach you are, you're like bailing out the ocean with a soup spoon. Like, it's going to take a while just to get above water with how, and yeah. I mean, the owner and everything else. Like, if Mike McCarthy called me, I would say.
I was just about to ask the same thing about Chicago, Mike, and Mike McCarthy.
I really want you to get the Bears job because I think it would make it really interesting. And I want you to have success, and you'd be great for Caleb Williams. But again, ownership makes that job, and the dysfunction makes that job feel like, I don't know, Jim.
I'm so glad you said that because I was just about to ask.
So both those jobs, there's a reason why their jobs are open every 3 years. So I'm obviously Jeff Hafley and I, despite not having many one-on-one conversations from the press conferences and my little gag about the Boston College sweatshirt and everything else, like he and I really like him. I think he's really smart. Look at what he did. Now, if you want to be devil's advocate, you could say, give Joe Barry Xavier McKinney and his defense would have been better. And you're right. I don't think it would have been as good.
It wouldn't have been this good. No way.
I just don't believe that. So I think as long as Jeff Hafley stays, the better. You know, Tausch said he didn't think there'd been this much excitement about a coordinator since Fritz Schirmer. I would disagree only because he was on the team at the time. So I don't think he was thinking from a media perspective or from a fan perspective. Dom Capers had a lot of juice when he walked into the door. Like, their defense was trending very much in the wrong direction in those 3 years with Bob Sanders.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a guy that had coached in Super Bowls. He'd been a head coach, you know, bad comb over notwithstanding. He was awesome. And you ask players that played for him, they loved him. And so I get the same vibes from a guy who's much younger but and has different experience than Dom had. But to me, he energized that defense. And if you think back to 09 and 10 when you were at Denmark High School or whatever you were doing.
No, I was at Martin Elementary School on the east side of Green Bay at that point.
There you go. Ruvell Martin?
Yeah.
Charles Martin. Anyway, I like playing that game. So I think as long as the longer he stays, the better, but I'm guessing it'll be kind of like the Lions where every year you get with Ben Johnson, every year you get with Jeff Hafley will be great. And you hope that it keeps continuing this direction.
That's really high praise, by the way. I hope everybody realizes how high of praise that is.
Yeah, I mean, again, it could be just that I like him as a person. And I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, but yes, and I I don't know him at all, but what I've heard from him, I think he's awesome. And obviously, the product we saw on the field this year was awesome. Robert Ferguson, by the way, was my neighbor on the east side of Green Bay back in the mid 2000s.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever play catch?
No. I
shovel his driveway.
We rode bikes by each other a couple times, and I always said, Robert Ferguson, hi! Because I was a little child, but anyway.
Is that what you sounded like? That's cute.
All right, rapid fire. Freddy. Rapid fire. We got a few minutes left. Divisional round weekend. You like the Chiefs over the Texans?
Yes.
You like the Lions over the Commanders?
I want the Lions to go to the Super Bowl.
Why?
Because they've never been to a Super Bowl.
So you want, like, Lions-Bills? Is that the dream?
Yes.
Okay.
Bills beat the Lions in the Super Bowl.
I am completely with you. Yes.
Tausch is going to be mad at us.
I want a first-time winner, and I've seen the Rams win one recently. I've seen the Eagles win one recently, and to be real honest with you, I don't see the Commanders getting that far. So,
And you've certainly seen enough of the Chiefs winning one recently.
Yes, so I would like fresh blood in the UFC. You would see some fresh blood there, the AFC. Ravens are fun too. Whoever wins that game, I'd like to see represent the AFC.
Sure.
But if the Texans could pull the upset, I'm not against them either. I just, once again, I don't think they're getting there.
Yeah, not seeing it.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, Jason, I've changed my mind since we talked before the show. Next week, we are going to do some yes or no questions in honor of Green Bay game day being over. Our favorite segment, yes or no with Jason Wilde.
A whole show of it?
Not a whole show of it. Just
that's what you said.
We're going to play the game a little bit, and maybe we'll feature some mailbag questions. So if you have any questions as we head into the Packers offseason for Jason, who knows more about the Packers than I'll ever know. He's forgotten more about the Packers than I'll ever know is probably the better way to say that. Drop them in the comments below here on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat, or you can tweet us at Alex_Strofe, at Jason J. Wilde. Jason, this is a fun one, despite it being kind of the end of the season for the Green Bay Packers, the end of season edition. But we'll do it again next Thursday. Appreciate the time as always, brother.
Is our free time almost over? Is that why we have to hurry up and go?
We've got 85 seconds.
I'll talk to my people, my agent. If we can do this in the off season, I think there'll be reason to do that. I think it's going to be a fascinating off season. So, am I looking forward to doing next week's in a yes or no format? Maybe.
Hey! It's better than I typically get. I'll take it. That is Jason Wilde. Find him on social at Jason J. Wilde. You can get me at Alex_Strofe and at Strofe ESPN on TikTok. I don't know if you can get me on TikTok past next week, but that's beside the point. We'll talk to you next week. It's Weekly Wilde.